This is Owosso City Clerk Amy Cohagan. Due to technical difficulties with the sound system, there are some gaps and distortion in the audio for this meeting. Gaps longer than 5 seconds have been removed from the recording for the sake of continuity. As a result, the audio may pick up and leave off in unusual places.
Yes, now I hear. Okay, am I coming through with it? Okay, I guess we're ready to go, man. Thank you so much. Okay. Good evening, Your Honorable Mayor Taesh and members of the Owosso City Council. I'm very pleased to be here this night by Zoom to present the audited financial statements for the year ended June 30, 2025. The audit, again, this year went smooth. We encountered no difficulties, problems, or differences. We received excellent help and cooperation from the city staff, especially Brad Barrett, your finance director. We found no problems with the city's current accounting procedures and controls. With our audit, we recommended 10 adjusting journal entries that we provided to Mr. Barrett. Prior year, we had 13 adjusting journal entries recommended. 10 journal entries is not a large amount for a city like Owosso, and it is not unusual to have adjusting journal entries recommended like that. As a result of our audit work, we were able to issue the standard unmodified report or opinion on pages 1, 2, and 3 in the booklet titled Independent Auditor's Report. The unmodified opinion is the best that is possible. Okay. I'd just like to run through a few pages with you, starting on, okay, I can see the front page. The opinions were on the pages 1, 2, and 3 in the report. There we go, right there. We had the first page up, and that's the second page of the opinion. It consists of 3 pages now. In the old days, it was one page and one paragraph. But that's the opinion, the best that you can get. Okay, I'd like to move on to page 8. That's in that management discussion and analysis section. It'd be like the next page there. To page 8. Lauren, one more page. Yes. Okay, and one more beyond that. One more. There you go. You got it. Page 8. Okay, so what you're seeing here is as part of that management discussion analysis section, it shows a very condensed, full accrual, comparative statement of activities for the governmental activities and the business type activities of the city. It does not include the component units here. But some of the notable items here this year was the fact that property taxes, we show their taxes. Property tax revenue this year was altogether, total was $5,507,000 approximately, right there. Prior year was $5,129,000. See the number right next to it. That's up about $378,000 or about 7%. And that was because taxable SEV increased about 7%. As you know, the tax rates remain the same. This year also, we see capital grants there under revenues. This year coming in at $9,755,000 approximately, right there, yeah. And the prior year amount was $4,051,000. So that was quite an increase there, over $5 million. And that was mostly in the business type activities specifically in the wastewater treatment fund, where there was a lot of new capital activity going on. Moving ahead to page 11 in the report, there you go. Right there. I think that's it. Okay. This is a statement of net position. This is the full accrual, big picture as to where the city stood on June 30, 25 in terms of assets and liabilities. Capital assets and long-term debt in your funds, like general fund and so forth, you don't include those type of assets or liabilities. But this basis of account is supposed to give you a true picture. Okay. So on this basis of accounting, I think the city reports a very good financial position. It's obvious here. By looking at this, that with the $28 million in cash and investments there right at the top, and then the net position, bottom line, which shows over on the next page. Bottom line, net position is for the governmental, you have about $48 million. There and about $43 million in the business. Component unit does show a deficit, but that's not unusual for a component unit like that that is structured to float debt issues and borrow money with the idea of using incremental taxes and so forth to pay back those debts. So that's nothing there to be concerned about at all. Okay. Moving ahead to page 15. I'd like to move to page 15. Yep, there we go. Let's see. We got to go back a little bit. Right there. That's right there. Okay. Page. One more back. Up. Yeah. Up. Okay, you went too far. Hit the down button there. There we go. Okay. Okay, so here we see the balance sheet, and this is just part of the thing. It's actually spread in some more pages, but here you see the balance sheet for governmental type funds. Governmental fund accounting for governmental funds is a modified accrual basis. So you don't see capital assets and long-term debt. The focus here is only on current available resources. On this basis of accounting, the general fund ended the year with fund balances of total fund balance of $9,356,000. You see on the bottom, if you pull that down a little bit, there it is. The fund balance. Okay, so that level of fund balance is considered very healthy when compared to the annual expenditures budget, which is about $12 million a year currently. So you have a good fund balance for the activities that you're doing. And then finally, I would just like to move to one more page, and that's page 21. That's it. Okay. Page 21 and page 22 is the statement of net position for the city's business type activities. You have a lot of business activities, water, sewer, transportation fund. This also includes the internal service funds. The business type funds on this statement appear to be in good financial shape. You have total cash and investments in those funds of approximately $12 million, and we see no deficits in any of those funds. So they're in very good shape. So in conclusion, I thank you for choosing Berth Human Company to serve as city auditors, and I welcome your questions or comments. Helps. And I hope it came through really good on that end for the first time. Oh. Okay, great. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you too. Good night, everyone.
Well, I'm looking for detailed orientation of the financial obligations that this town has, a detailed list of all the summarized notions of assets and revenues and so on, because there's got to be a point where we start looking at things and we say, hey, you know what, maybe we don't need to spend the money on putting flowers out front of all these businesses out front. Maybe we'll have them deal with it themselves if they so well choose to. Okay, there's certain things, there's fat that can be trimmed by no question. Everybody knows it. I'm not the first guy to stand here and say it either. I'm sure one of you guys are up here doing just what I'm doing. And I can tell you all, I have no desire to sit where any of you are, because I don't know what would happen.
I'm sorry, you have another 3 minutes at the end, but you have 4 minutes. Your 4 minutes are up at this
very
time.
Well, thank you for the time.
I appreciate your coming to the council meeting. Further comments?
Hello, fellow council members. So I wanted to address the situation. One thing my name's Joseph. I'm 304 Michigan Avenue.
Last name?
Moore.
Thank
tall,
you.
Dark, and handsome.
Okay.
Sorry. Jokes are everything. So I have come to address the situation. I've come to find out that most of our landlords are not having their buildings inspected. And yet, I am one of the ones that I'm being told constantly that if I don't get inspected, I'll get fined. In which I'm trying to figure out, okay, if this is happening, and we have a length of time that we are allowing for these landlords to go without being inspected, how much more offices that you're talking about here are underneath the roof of a slumlord that doesn't care, that doesn't want to do the due diligence of what's expected of them? It's disheartening to me to be one of the proud landlords that will make sure that my tenants are safe, that make sure that they have everything they need, that make sure that the only thing I did worry about is within the building. But as far as the safety goes of having a simple inspection done and having it done by the city, it's something that I take enjoyment of, knowing that my tenants are safely where it's being inspected by the city, to have the okay, to have the stamp of the city to say, hey, we back up what you're doing and we're proud of what you're doing. I love that. But it's disheartening to hear that other landlords that haven't done it for numbers of years aren't being fined as such as we are supposed to. It is hurtful. It is disgruntled to me because I'm taking the extra step, and they aren't. But yet we're not going to slap their hand. We're just going to make sure that the younger ones that are starting into this make sure that they understand right away. So when are we going to stand up? When are we going to stand up and say, hey, this is the line? When are we going to draw the line in the sand? Where does it start? Who does it start with? And at what point are we going to do something about it? I've heard multiple stories of, well, it's not the city, it's the police. Well, it's not the police, it's the city. Well, it's not the inspector, it's not the, I mean, all these different whatevers. Well, whoever's responsible and in charge, do it. It's like I said, it's hurtful for me. Furthermore, you are putting our citizens at a risk because we're not following through with our judgment, with our system, ordinances. We're not following through with them. So at what point are we going to say, hey, this is a line in the sand. This is where we're at. This is where you need to be. If you don't do that, there's a penalty. And then we're going to do it on our time, on your dollar. Because if I stand up for something that's right, at what point are we going to stand up and say, this is justice, this is the law, and we're going to follow through A, B, and C. Not skip A, B, and C, because it's too much paperwork, or beyond the time, name a reason, name an excuse. It's just, I want to see us all come together and do that together. Thank you.
Thank you. Further comments? If not, I bring it back to the council for any comments at this time.
Is that a final comment, you mean?
That's at the end of the meeting. Yep, you'll know.
This is my first one, so
yep. Yeah, I'll make sure you know. Yep.
Yes.
I have a few things, so sorry,
yep.
Bear with me.
Yep.
I wanted to first start off with I went sledding yesterday at Holman.
Grove Holman.
Yeah, okay. I was going to say Holman Pool. But the little free sled library was being used, and it was great. They were all being used. So that was wonderful to see. I wanted to give a shout out to that. New Year's Eve ball drop was phenomenal. I saw tons of pictures and positive things. So thanks for all who helped plan that. Y'all were great. And I could hear the fireworks like from my house, so it must have been a great show. Speaking of housing, the Warming Center is continuing to do work. They provide meals every night at St. John's United Church of Christ, and they are in need of more people to sign up to host dinner. You have to cook everything on site or get it ordered and prepared. It has to come from a commercial kitchen. But you can find that information on Facebook. It's been shared a lot by Joe Hammondry. And the actual overnight shelter is now at Christ Episcopal, but they're still going to be looking for volunteers. So if you're interested in helping with the housing problem, there are opportunities to volunteer. And then I actually wrote something about housing because it was on the mind with things I've been doing for work, and I wanted to bring it to everyone's attention. With the new year of 2026, we are reminded that there's lots of change happening, especially dates, but other things that can happen in the community. We have a renewed opportunity to care for one another and strengthen our community that we call home. Owosso has been built on resilience, compassion, and a strong sense of belonging. Yet we know some of our neighbors are struggling. We've heard so tonight. Housing insecurity and homelessness remain real challenges for our community, and they affect not just individuals and families, but the health and future of our entire community. This year, we have an opportunity to do more, to move forward with new housing developments that meet the needs of Owosso today and in the future. By encouraging responsible development and expanding affordable housing options, we can create pathways to stable housing for working families, seniors, and those who are currently unhoused. Stable and affordable housing is the foundation for employment, health, and long-term success, which is what we all want for Owosso. Addressing homelessness is not about quick fixes. We all know that. It's about partnership, thoughtful planning, and compassion. It means working closely with local organizations, developers, and residents, and listening to those with lived experience so that our solutions are practical, respectful, and effective. The new year gives us a chance to move forward together with purpose, collaboration, and a shared belief that progress is possible. I'm confident with us working together, we can make 2026 a meaningful year towards a stronger Owosso. I wanted to put some ideas out there. They're not majorly changing ideas, but they're things we could consider. Owosso has some specific issues that impact our housing equity in the community, and there's the potential that we can address them. First of all, preserve and repair existing homes. This is Owosso's biggest asset and our biggest equity lever. We have a large housing population, but a lot of them are older and aging homes, and many of them are at risk of becoming unlivable. We know that keeping residents in a long-term, safe housing prevents displacement and then unhoused people. Our efforts with MISHDA are already great, and I wanted to give Tanya, even though she's not here, applause for that, because she does a lot of work to get the city funding for that. And then the second thing is protect renters in single-family homes. Many of our renters live in converted or older single-family homes with limited protections. We need some sort of rental registry with ties to basic health and safety, inspections, and the potential for landlord incentives to follow through on these things. I know that we can all have a better and greater Owosso if we work on this together, and I'm moved tonight by hearing other people are concerned about this too. So thank you, council and audience, for indulging me in these thoughts, and I'm hopeful that we can collaborate and work together to help Owosso become greater. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilwoman. Appreciate that. Further comments?
May I have a follow-up as we're talking about this? What is our landlord? And I mean, I think that right, we've talked about this, I think, at least three times since I've been on council, but I don't know that we've moved the needle in terms of getting more aggressive with the landlord inspection situation or even more enforceable. So I know it's come up. I just don't know that I've ever heard us move it forward as far as making it more robust or reflect So, like, where are we at on that? Like, I guess as a council.
Good question. Personally, I know we have a program in place, obviously.
Right.
But I have not asked for personally, a report on it. Kind of like the same thing. I kind of want to get a report on how the new enforcement is coming with the parking.
Parking, right.
Yeah. So we need to address that. I think with the city manager, and so we can maybe get a report at another meeting on that for sure, and
yeah.
Maybe even on this question, because I think city manager, isn't that as to with
there's a 5-year rental inspection process that the city has had in place for.
Right.
Quite a few years.
Right.
I've actually spoken to Mr. Moore about this previously. I think it was last month. I've spoken to Tanya in the building office. You receive those reports every month, but I'll, at our staff meeting this week, I'll make a note that the building department should maybe reconfigure that a bit so it's more easy to understand. But we do have that 5-year rental inspection process. We don't run a 3-year process because the fees don't justify that. The fees have to pay for that service. And right now, we've been operating on a 5-year registration process for quite some time. I think previous to this council, there was consideration of a 3-year inspection process, but we didn't have the staff at the time to do it. And like I said, even back then, the fees didn't justify a move to the 3-year process. But I know that Tanya is a bit behind on the enforcement, the ticket writing, so that's going to be a subject of this week's staff meeting. I already had it on my list because we do need to get caught up with that. People like Joe, he stays on top of it. He's assured me anyway. And we just need to make sure that those who fall behind aren't given the, okay, well, get it when you can. I've already had that discussion with the building department to say, hey, you got to get on that and start issuing tickets. If that means corroboration with the police department, fine. But we got to get on that.
Thank you, City Manager.
Do we know, the last time you, Tanya, and I had a conversation about this, which was a couple years ago, I wasn't confident that we had accurate numbers of how many rentals we have in the city. Have we gotten a handle on that?
I don't recall a specific conversation from 3 years ago, sorry. But if you want specific numbers, I'll make sure. Like I said, the monthly reports that the building department does provide to council, that's explicitly laid out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Can I ask another follow-up question?
Yes.
Can I interrupt
yes, of
real
course.
Quick? Can you please turn the mics up?
Oh.
I could hear...
Me.
Councilmember Olson, because she leaned into her mic, but the two gentlemen that spoke, I had to read their lips, and I can hear these two because they're right next to me.
Oh, sorry.
Find out when somebody starts talking.
Okay, so my follow-up question is, I was recently reading something about the expansion of ADUs. And them being explicitly written in as permissible by right to, especially people that are communities that have a housing problem and certainly more affordable housing. And so I don't think when I remember the last zoning stuff that we actually, did we write it in that it's by right that people can expand on their, here's why I bring it up. I remember when we were changing the zoning to being all up to four units on any property, that I only remember this specifically because my house was used almost as an example of, like, there are very few homes that would also meet the parking and lot size requirements to be able to be converted. And so it was meant to be a reassurance to the people that were very concerned about changing the zoning that this really wouldn't impact the community layout much at all. But now I wonder, did we accidentally eliminate that option and make it more difficult for single-family residential homes to build an ADU that could be rented out to kind of help infill some of this housing problem that we're having? Like, we're not going to develop so many more units downtown for, like, urban infill. We're not going to... So what we have is a very locked-in housing So maybe the way we expand that is by making that more codified into our system that people can build an ADU and rent it out. I don't, is that something, do you guys, I actually don't know. So I'm actually legitimately asking, is my understanding correct? Is there something I'm missing? Do we have it explicit? Because I know the developers and people that are trying to do it will look for communities where it's already been talked about, handled, addressed, and put into the zoning, that it's allowed. Like, they won't go to a community to develop something if it's not already been addressed.
ADUs as a use by right was something that I insisted that our planner include in that zoning code rewrite that you would approve. So yeah, it's in there.
Perfect, okay.
That's what we're always concerned with. We want to make this process easier, so we want things to be like quadplexes, used by right, like you said, if all of the other factors fall into place. And ADUs, I thought there would be more discussion on that during the deliberation, because communities typically zero in on that as a controversial issue, but in this case, with your last zoning code rewrite, it was the quadplex issue. ADUs didn't get much attention. That surprised me, but they are in there as a use by right.
Did they
family residential? No.
Did all the other conditions that would need to be met for that to happen kind of preclude it from being a reasonable thing? Like, do you recall?
Not in my opinion, no.
Okay. So many of our current housing stock could add one of these on based on the conditions.
ADUs are mostly the upper story of existing accessory units, like
okay.
garages. Before, and like a lot of other communities, our previous ordinance didn't allow that.
Okay, perfect. Well, good.
Now we allow it by right.
I've heard of other communities, and not that this is something that we have the funds to do, but like where they will establish grants to help kind of promote homeowners to expand, like to do this. They'll offer a grant, a building grant. Maybe it's something that in the future Tanya can look at if there's possible grant money that we could pass through for people to expand on their property to create the ADU. I don't know.
Definitely a potential.
Definitely. Yeah.
We'll certainly communicate that to the state, and I encourage any of you, when you have these ideas, pick up the phone, call Brian Goal, call Sam Singh, and we'll talk to our CDBG team leader here.
Perfect.
Because they're always looking for that type of feedback. It used to be the MEDC, they were not as responsive as MISHTA has been, but they're always looking for that feedback. Right now, you know, we've got 3.4 million and counting since 2023 to rehabilitate older homes.
Yeah.
That equates to about 60 units that have been rehabilitated. Not built new, rehabilitated. And that's huge. 3.4 million. But they're going to be, in my opinion, they're going to start pivoting here pretty soon towards other things. For a while, it was short-term rentals that were getting all the attention. They're not going to provide grants for that, obviously. It was more of a regulatory discussion. But I think you're onto something, that if a lot of communities are going to start allowing ADUs in the use by right for communities like Owosso, who are landlocked, don't have a lot of space left, we got to go up rather than out.
Very good. Yeah. Further comments? Chief, would it be possible maybe for you maybe just could have a brief chat with Brandon after the meeting?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Well, I have something. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
This is a really easy one. This is like a super softball. Nathan. City Manager Nathan. Henny. Here's my question for you. Is it possible... This happened multiple times toward the end of last year. Obviously, you know, if you got your finger on the pulse, you know what's going on. We've lowered our flag to half-mast, but there's never any sort of post about why we're doing it. And as silly as it sounds, since it is kind of the people's house right here, that it feels like if we could incorporate, like, an explanation for whatever symbolism we are doing, to cue in the community, because like we were driving by and it was like a week after somebody had passed away, and I was like, I actually don't know why it's at half mast. I know that there is a good reason. I just don't know what it is that we're honoring when it goes down to half mast at all times. Is that something that maybe we could post on our public Facebook page? Like, you might notice that the flags at half mast were celebrating or honoring this. It seems like such an easy one.
Sure. We get notices. Well, we have the calendar, and the existing half-mast days are already in the calendar, but sometimes we'll get notices from the governor or the president's office that the flag will be at half-mast for this reason. That's checked in the mornings, and the folks who handle the flags throughout the city place them accordingly, so we can certainly do that.
Yeah, I think it would really land whatever the message is, right? The community can rally around it better if we know what it is.
Sure.
Thank you.
So I also want to thank Councilman Owens for a great job done being the champion. I call you the champion because you took it on, and you have to have a individual to make it happen. You put a team together, I get that, but still you have to be a champion to make it happen. And he did the last 2 years. He stepped up like all of us, but mostly getting to know you even better as we go along. You take a lot on.
Sometimes.
Juggle a lot of balls, and literally a ball in this case. But great job. Fireworks are fantastic. Looking forward to next year. You have something up your sleeve?
I do. And we're going to keep it down low for now.
So thank you for that. Yeah. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. I also want to thank Pastor Bill. I think we're all getting to know Pastor Bill. We just had a little chat beforehand, but I was talking to the city clerk, and I was kind of joking around. I said, you know, you gave me a list, and I was looking at this list, and it goes all the way through June, and I didn't see Pastor Bill on the list for opening prayer. But I thought about it, and I kind of mentioned it to you. I said, well, I think they probably made him the 24/7 go-to guy for the opening prayer for the city hall, because I think we've gone to you at least three times now, that all of a sudden someone didn't show or they couldn't make it. And it's always Pastor Bill that's been able to do it, because the main reason was Pastor Bill's always here. So you've supported the council in so many ways, not just the opening prayer. I got you to be on a committee, as you well know. So I do appreciate that. Appreciate you getting to know you and all your cohorts, all your other pastors. It's been a real blessing. So thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah. I don't think it's worth the clapping.
Any other comments? Seeing none, this takes us to the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Support.
I have a motion support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Olson.
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber.
Yes.
Councilmember Fear.
Yes.
Osmer.
Yes.
Mayor Tight.
Yes, the consent agenda is approved. This brings us to items of business. Item number one, audit acceptance. Consider a resolution accepting and placing on file the City of Owosso financial report of the fiscal year ended June 30th, 2025.
Make a motion to approve.
Support.
A motion support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Owens.
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Mayor Taish?
Yes, the audit acceptance is approved. This brings us to items of business number two, notice of pecuniary interest, and I'd be looking for a motion.
Make a motion to accept the notice of pecuniary interest.
Support.
Support.
Yeah.
I have a motion of support, and Councilman, don't worry about that, because I've listened to that. So I've had the city clerk help me with that word. I've been on the computer and with the pronunciation of that word. I come up with different words other than that to use, and I said I got stubborn. I said I'm going to learn that word, mm-hmm. And it's not an easy word. So that was a pecuniary interest. We have a motion and support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you are ready.
Councilmember Olson?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Osmer?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Mayor Tyche?
Yes. Notice of pecuniary interest is approved. This brings us to items of business number 3, set a special meeting to consider setting a special meeting for annual goal-setting session. I did have a discussion with the city manager. A couple Mondays that came up that looked good. Hopefully we'll meet everybody's requirements would be the February the 9th or February the 23rd. Both Mondays. I would say probably both starting the regular time at 6:30. Is that what you're thinking, City Manager?
Yeah, and discussing it with you, Mayor, decided just to keep the Mondays, but you know, I can, as long as it's not the third Wednesday, I can do any other day. That's the HDC meeting.
23rd would be planning.
I was thinking historical commission's on the 9th.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're not going to be able to do Monday then.
Okay, so well, Monday's out.
How about a Tuesday?
So the planning commission usually is rare that they meet. Our luck, it would be that Monday.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
I just can't do it the last week in January.
How about February 10th? Tuesday, February 10th.
February 10th, that would be the.
That's the SATA board. Sorry.
Told you this would be fun, Rob.
How about Tuesday?
Think about all these meetings.
How about Tuesday, February 3rd? Oh, yeah, February 3rd.
Tuesday, February 3rd.
I'll be getting back into the country 3 days before that. Can we not do the 3rd?
Okay.
24th?
How about if we make it
Thursday the 12th?
What is the 1, 2, 3? What about the 17th, Tuesday the 17th?
Yeah.
I don't see any real special meeting other than my Kiwanis meeting, which I can skip that.
Yeah, I can do the 17th.
So I got a 17th.
Count to the night because president.
So we said I can.
I got 17th. Chair, Mayor Pro Tem, 17th. Okay.
I think we did. Yeah.
Yep. Hang on. Nope.
Uh-oh. It's President's Day on Monday, so we have to move the regular council meeting to the 17th. So you're already meeting on the 17th.
How about Thursday the 12th?
I can't.
Rachel?
I'm sorry.
You've been a real thumbs down this whole time.
How about the 12th of Thursday the 12th?
Nope, she just said no.
You can't
How about
that.
Thursday the 9th, the 19th, though?
Thursday the 19th. Volunteer Appreciation Day, sideline 5 to 7.
On DDA, Thursday.
On Thursday, on the 19th.
The 19th, I'll be in Detroit teaching on academy.
Okay, how about the 26th? February.
Didn't Ethan say no last week?
Huh? No, that was January.
January, okay. So what did you say again?
26.
Sure.
26 of February, a Thursday.
Solid.
I'm open.
I'm going to.
Raise your hand if that works.
City clerk. Holiday that day?
26. No. The room seems to be open. So.
Oh, it's open as well. We have an opening for the room.
Yeah.
Okay, so 26 work for everybody?
Sure.
Good.
Yes, Thursday the
26th. At
6:30? 26.
26 at 6:30. Well, that definitely won't work if you're not available. All right. The 26th it is.
And this is like our workshop where we go around with the little stickers and we kind of zero in our little groups?
It'll be the same format as last year.
Excellent. Yep. Okay, 26th.
That still gives 3 of you time to submit your questionnaires that I sent last month.
for it.
Shame, thank you very shame, much. Shame.
The rest of us need to be taken.
Can I have? Can I put a? I got a couple more ideas, City Manager. Can I put those in?
You're the mayor. That's fine.
All right. Thank you.
Just slip them in with my report when I finally said
okay,
it.
Okay, I'll do that. So do we need to have a motion for that?
Be preferable.
Okay, can I have a motion?
Make a motion to hold a special goal-setting meeting on February 26th at 6:30 here in City Council, or City Council Chambers.
Support.
Support.
I have a motion support. This would be a roll call vote. Madam Clerk, when you're ready.
Councilmember Osmer?
Yes.
Pro Tem Haber?
Yes.
Councilmember Owens?
Yes.
Fear?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Mayor Tice?
Yes, the special meeting is approved for February the 26th at 6:30.
Somebody tell Carl.
This brings us to the second citizen comments, which you'll be allowed to address the council for up to 3 minutes. Anybody at this time would like to address the council? Yes, sir. Grant, I'll let you go first.
Thank you again. And I do want to close just to say, you know, I'm not here as an enemy, nor do I see any of you as such. Okay, I understand me being a new migrant, if you will, to this community. Okay, you guys are trying to pick up the pieces that have been left down on the ground for many years prior. And I think that's a very, very testimonial sight to what's going on, not just here in Owosso, but what's going on throughout this state and this country, in fact. Okay. So the reality is that everybody wants to live in a peaceful, happy community that's affordable and so on. Now, what we have also come to find is that it's the same dynamics. We've tried the same dynamics for decades on end, and we're expecting new results out of them. To your point, Ms. Osmer, by all means, there needs to be better housing, there needs to be better affordability, sure. However, I don't think that it's in the good nature of this community to just enhance rental units. I think that's when you start seeing the communities fall. I think that's when you see people that don't care about what they got going on. You're not gonna care for something unless you paid your own blood and sweat and tears for it. So for all those things, I wanna be here for a force of good, a force of change, a force of help, okay? Because if I can't do it, my family and I are gonna be leaving this town. And again, when we first got here, this was the happiest place we've come to. And it's been very, very sad for us to see it dwindle away very, very quickly. And to that point, I noticed when these motel complexes, after the fire and after they were raised, that's when a lot of it really started happening. That's when you really saw a lot more foot traffic. So obviously they were spotting in there for quite some time too, beyond other places. And what I can't wrap my head around, I'm a land surveyor by day. I'm a construction business owner, licensed as well. My wife does a small micro bakery. We work very hard to try to sustain ourselves, and I can't even begin to imagine how people in this community are surviving right now. Because I can tell you, with all that hard work that my wife and I do, we're barely surviving. We're not thriving. It's not a good place to be. So again, I think there's some further conversations that perhaps we can entertain amongst one another, maybe outside of these meetings. You know, I think there are better ways to deal with things that we've dealt with, both here and everywhere else. And there's just not been somebody to say, hey, you know what, why don't we look at a new perception? Why don't we look at a different concept? Something's got to change. And I've come to find that regardless of what goes on at the federal level, the most important is right here at the local, at the state. And we'll go to the feds thereafter. But this is where it starts. And you expect people to live in a community here, and you want to have a nice, peaceful community. So do we all. But it starts right here. It's up to you guys. I didn't even get to vote any of you guys. I wasn't part of that. So, and that's okay. I'm just simply saying, I'm here, I'm new. You guys are picking up old pieces, trying to replace old bricks. First, don't.
Thanks, Brandon. Appreciate it. Further comments?
I just want to know what ADU is, that's all.
Oh, an accessory dwelling unit.
Okay.
Sorry.
Go to the podium next time.
Thank you, City Manager.
Oh, Lord. So performative. Just kidding.
Address, please.
My name is Joseph Moore, 641 North Shiawassee Street. I just want to know how many of you think that the city manager looks like Zach Slip, Zach from. Honestly, just to continue on. I'm not here to create a fiasco and create a mess. It's just the fact of how many times, like Mr. Henney has said, how many times have we let things slip by? And because I own the property now that I bought on North Shiawassee Street that was inspected for 10 years, and yet no fine was delivered. Nothing was followed through. And because and I'm not trying to put anybody that is bigger than me under shame, but same token, it's like, okay, they have 50 plus properties and more than I do. All of us are great people, but if I'm supposed to follow the rules, everybody should. And we should all, and there should be, like I said, there should be a line drawn in the sand of how much of injustice are we going to follow, how much we're going to let this skate by. And I hope that we won't take them with a beating, with some sort of encouragement to say, okay, let's be better than what we are and what we are pronounced to be. Let's be better than that. Let's be a Wasawians, or whatever you want to call it. Thank you. We get a vote on Slater and Zach and no.
Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Thank you.
Further comments? Seeing none, that brings us to the city manager's report. City manager.
We had another council comment.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, city manager.
I'll hit it at the end of this.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a recap of my December. On the 4th, I met with the Lebowski Center interim director to discuss the city serving as an applicant and fiduciary for the America 250 MI history grant. And this is to replace the aging stage and deck supports that they could not get to when the Lebowski Center was rebuilt after the fire over a decade ago. This is a $50,000 grant opportunity for the Lebowski. Finance Director Barrett and I met with the America 250 MI director as well as Lebowski Center director and told them we were happy to do that. There's nothing that the city has to contribute, but we'll help them through the process and serve as fiduciary for that grant application. On the 3rd, city staff met with Concourse Tech to start the implementation period for the water portal and community engagement application. We provided some follow-up information to them, we're ticking along through that 10 to 16 week implementation period. Now, most of that is going to be for the water portal. We expect the community engagement application to be up much sooner than that, so I'll keep it posted. Also on the 4th, I met with the USDA's compliance officer to discuss what the city has to do regarding the receipt of reimbursements for the public safety building direct appropriation from Congress that we got a couple years ago. So far, it doesn't look like the city needs to update any of our policies because we went through that with a CDBG project when Josh Adams was still here as the DDA director. And we had a whole slew of new policies that the federal government required of us then. But I wouldn't be surprised if there were one or two that have changed since then, but that's a fairly easy process. The public safety project is proceeding on the planning side. The architectural contract just got word today that the USDA's architect, the chief architect for the state of Michigan, did approve our contract that Spicer Group has been working on for us. The engineer has been working on those drawings that are necessary to go to bid, and that's our next item on the checklist. The good news, and this is really good news, we don't have to replace the boiler. The boiler is just going to go away, and that was almost a $300,000 expense. And we had a long discussion with captains of the fire department, Chief Lankart, and Captain Cherry, to talk about add alternates to this project, assuming a couple months ago that we would have to replace the boiler. That kitchen needs attention. They're doing 24-hour shifts, the fire department there, and that kitchen really needs some help. It's in constant use. And so now we've freed up quite a bit of this appropriation to start addressing some plumbing issues that aren't easy to get to because it's a concrete floor, and some asbestos tile that's going to have to be removed from hallways in the kitchen for the remodel. So that's a big weight off our shoulders to be able to redirect that boiler money towards the kitchen remodel. On the 9th, students from elementary schools came to City Hall on a field trip, and staff has gotten pretty good at running mock City Council meetings for them, where we get to choose who the mayor is, and they come up here and sit behind the dais in your chairs and pass legislation. So that's a lot of fun. I actually had an opportunity to participate in the Emerson Elementary, my alma mater, particular Emerson Elementary staff or council meeting. That was a lot of fun. I had to do the math to tell these kids how long it had been since I graduated from sixth grade. I don't care to make those announcements here publicly. On the 10th, I participated in the last strategic planning session for the SEDP. This happens every 5 years, and the city is one of the largest contributors to the Shiawassee Economic Development Partnership since its inception 20 years ago. And it was my turn to serve on this small community for the strategic plan. You know, a lot of the discussion was around housing and workforce development. And those, especially housing, that's a big goal for Owosso, and we've shown progress there through the work that Tanya has done and our developers that are interested in CDBG and other grant programs. So I was happy that my voice was heard and that Owosso had that representation for this planning session. On the 11th, I hosted a meeting with St. John's Church. I mentioned something to you about this at your last council meeting with Pastor Gary Beal and representatives from Gratiot County who have been successful in running homeless shelters and efforts, temporary homeless warming centers in Gratiot County and the Mid-Michigan area. They're interested in helping out here in Owosso because St. John's Church is, as you know, if you've been on social media today, they're looking for volunteers to staff their warming center. And we still have quite a bit of winter to go, and this has been a particularly cold one so far. So if any of us have some opportunity, I'd encourage you to reach out to Pastor Beal. But I assured the Gratiot County folks that we have been having these discussions about how to help with the homeless situation more than we have. And my pushback, as you know, has always been that we're a small community. We don't really have the resources to take on a program of our own. So we look outwards for third party, in this case, a faith-based third party, to really kind of bolster our efforts in there, and we'll look for any ways we can partner. So eventually they may be looking for a long-term solution. So we were talking very preliminarily about land use and zoning around that issue. So I'm talking with Tanya just so the Planning Commission is kind of getting ready for that. That discussion may happen within the next year. Also on the 10th, the city staff held their annual Christmas party. Usually we go to Chip's, but we spread around a little bit this year and went to Tanglewood. It was always a good time to get together with City Hall staff for that event. On the 11th, another Christmas party. The OHC hosted their Christmas party at Kerwood Castle. It was a little bit different this time, but it was very well attended by staff, city council, and Kerwood Festival dignitaries, and county commissioners showed up as well, so we got to talk to them. We really appreciate them coming. Because they didn't have a silent auction, every year I donate a few hundred dollars to the cause, just so that it pays for all of the food and they can make a little money off of it. The silent auctions, those are a lot to put together, and the OHC mostly is just getting together to appreciate Kerwood and Christmas, and it's a good opportunity to open the castle up for that event. On the 12th, staff met to discuss unfortunately, the early snow we got this year and how it affected leaf pickup, we're going to be making some changes to next year's leaf brochure and make it explicit that we will be doing a third round no matter what. There was a lot of confusion over that this year. So third rounds, yeah, we're going to do them, but if we continue to get snow early, which this year was an outlier, it's going to make snow, or it's going to make leaf pickup difficult, and we'll have to do it in the spring. So we are committed to doing that. We need to wait for the snow to melt. So if anybody asks you about leaf pickup, we will be doing a third round before brush pickup starts. On the 18th, I met with Carrie Krantz to start the discussion on our recycling, curbside recycling listening sessions. This is going to be very important for us to be focused on that this spring. So we're going to be doing a lot of things. You know, we're talking about the capital improvement plan here pretty soon. Staff is already getting rolling on that. You have your annual goal setting session that is very budget dependent. We'd like to have that information before staff really start diving into the annual budget. And I think just the preliminary report I sent you that we're pretty well on track with your goals that you set last year. So it's going to be a busy spring for us, and that recycling issue is going to be the biggest, I think. So we're looking for those to start in the spring. On the 19th, the HR director and I interviewed a candidate for city engineer as Clayton Wehner has moved on to Huron County Road Commission. We extended the offer, and my notes here say that we have not heard back due to the holidays, but we did hear back today. He counteroffered. We said, that's fine, and he said, well, ultimately, I have to decline. So we're starting a discussion here at the leadership level on what to do without on-staff city engineer. I think we have a way forward. We're going to be talking about the staff meeting, so I would expect more updates on my monthly report to you next month on that. We've got some ideas moving forward just to make sure things don't fall through the cracks. On the 23rd, city staff met with the contractor for NAFIS. NAFIS and Grace water main replacements. LA Construction ran into some unexpected subsurface conditions when they were doing their directional drilling. This is the first time I've run into some pushback from contractors saying that they want to renegotiate their contract, that they run into issues in the subsurface that in our existing agreement, that we've done a lot of these things in that existing agreement, so we're not responsible for any subsurface conditions. So the city attorney was involved with that meeting, as well as LA Construction and their attorney. We wanted to have that meeting before Clayton left, so I think it went well, but now it's in the attorney's hands. But I just wanted to update you that we are going through that process with LA Construction. I think it was a good meeting, but we may be meeting somewhere in the middle. We're pushing back pretty hard on stuff that they are claiming they shouldn't be responsible for. But more on that as it comes. And that's all I have.
Thank you, City Manager. Any questions for the City Manager at this point in time? All right. Seeing none, next meeting would be Tuesday, January the 20th, 2026.
Make a motion to approve, to adjourn.
Support.
I have a motion to support. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, the same. We are adjourned.
Yeah, I was going to approve us leaving. Does anybody care to counter?